on my life. You've heard me mention his name many times, Tom Williams, evangelist Tom Williams. Great man of God. He just graduated to heaven, and we will miss him down here. And may God give us more Tom Williams. What a great impact he made on my young life as a young student studying for the ministry. Tom was about his age when I first came in contact with him, his big cowboy hat, married to his young, beautiful wife, and they came up to the college. What an impact. What an impact. Remember, his wife's hair was right down to her back, right down, all the way down. Beautiful lady. Just a tremendous man of God. Really impacted my life. Just went home to heaven. We are continuing on here, and we have been looking at messages on building lives on solid foundations. And I hope that you are doing that with your life. We are on the 10th message, and we've been studying marriage. And I was going to go on to children today, but I still have one more message at least on marriage, and it is a warning message. You know that marriage is a holy covenant, and that it's a covenant of companionship where you pledge to each other before God and with witnesses that you will fulfill your vows to be joined to your spouse in such a way that once you make those vows, you become with your spouse into the most intimate, personal, exclusive, permanent relationship on the face of God's green earth. Adam, when he was married with the first marriage ceremony by God himself, with the angels as the witnesses, he said when he saw his wife, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." There's a sense when a man loves his wife, he's really loving himself. And you do not have that privilege until you enter into a holy covenant of marriage. Two people living together, common law, do not make them married. I've said it before, they just become monogamous fornicators. They're not married. Marriage is a covenant before God and witnesses. If it's easy, it's sleazy. And God meant it to be holy, separated from the world and the world's way. And so your holy marriage union is a relationship that pictures Christ and his bride. In fact, the Bible says, and we've been studying Ephesians 5, verse 32, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." So when you love your wife, and you're to love her selectively like the Lord loved us, you're to love her sacrificially like the Lord loved us, you're to love her sanctifyingly, where you're leading her to a higher level of commitment and of testimony. And you are in effect, when you do that, you're loving your own self. And in your Bible reading for today, I thought this kind of tipped me that I needed to preach this. You read the prophet Hosea. How many read their Bible today, Hosea? Amen. I commend you. And God told the prophet of God to marry a woman that would do things to actually murder the marriage covenant between her and God's prophet, her husband, Hosea. You know, God did that with a purpose. He had a prophet, and a prophet's supposed to get the revelation, the message of God out to the people so they understand it. That's what a preacher's supposed to do, to get this Bible out to you through a human personality so you understand it. And that's why the Word of God is prophetic preaching. I pray we have too much pathetic preaching today and too little prophetic preaching. But we need that kind of preaching. And so, you know, we have this prophet of God, and God said, "Hey, I want to get a message across because my people are, I'm married to them." God married the nation of Israel. Did you know that? Under the law. He married them. And he said they're murdering the marriage. Under the law, they're murdering the marriage. And he said, I want you to marry a woman. Maybe she's a good woman now. She seems like a good woman. But I want you to marry a woman that I know is going to turn bad. I know she's going to turn bad. And that's so you can show my people what they're doing to me. And you get the privilege to prophet of God to feel the pain that I feel. And Hosea obeyed God, and he married this lady named Gomer, and she became his wife. But she turned bad and helped to murder the marriage covenant. You say, well, what sin murders the marriage covenant? Well, there's only one the Lord Jesus mentioned between two believers that can murder it. The Apostle Paul mentioned another one where there's an unbeliever that can murder it. But two between believers that can murder the marriage covenant and literally end in divorce, possibly, though God hates divorce and he hates this sin. Jesus put it this way, whosoever shall put away, that is divorce, his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her, which is put away or divorced, doth commit adultery. Matthew 19:9. In other words, God said that is enough to murder the marriage covenant. That is enough where that marriage can be broken. And once that marriage is broken and adultery has been done and the divorce has been granted, that person is then free to remarry. Thus, fornication in marriage is a misuse of God's gift of physical love between a man and a woman. In other words, a man and a woman that have not entered into a holy covenant of marriage, when they're committing the physical act of love that we call the marriage act, they are fornicating and they're in God's face and violating his gift. And whoremongers and adulterers, my friend, God will judge. You can mark it down. He hasn't changed a bit. Now, if that love, called the marriage act, is done with someone who is not your spouse, and let's say you are married, and you commit that with somebody that's not your spouse, then you have committed adultery by fornication. Adultery in the Middle Ages by fornication. There was an acrostic that described it. And the acrostic is simply this: forbidden, F. Unauthorized, U. Carnal or fleshly or physical, C. Knowledge, K. That was the acrostic that described this marriage act love outside of the marriage covenant. And you don't do that within the marriage. There is no such thing as forbidden, unauthorized, carnal knowledge in marriage. It's good knowledge. The bed, the marriage bed is what? Undefiled. It is not forbidden, F. Unauthorized, U. Carnal, C. Knowledge, K. But that happens outside of the marriage bed. And so, just like everything God makes, the devil twists it and perverts it and hooks people up on it. And they're all hooked up, and women are all hooked up, and men are all hooked up on that which God forbids for our good. So before we talk about rearing and raising children, and by the way, if you're going to rear and raise children, you better have your home in order. You better do things decently and in order, because you're becoming an example to your children. What you do in a little bit, they'll do in a lot. And so before we talk about that, I want to look at the fruit of the marriage union and of the marriage, which are children, but not yet. First, I'm compelled to give you a message of warning tonight called, here's the name of the message, Stop murdering your marriage. Stop murdering your marriage. And I want to say three things tonight about this. Number one, because Israel murdered its marriage to the Lord in the Old Testament. And you get this in Hosea 1 through 3 that we've already been studying and through the book of Hosea. And then Jeremiah chapter 3, 6 through 8. You see, Israel, the northern kingdom, murdered her marriage in the Old Testament. Here's what God said in Jeremiah. He said, "Hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel has done? She has gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. And I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away or divorced her and given her a bill of divorcement." Jeremiah 3, 6 through 8. God divorced Israel for the sin of spiritual fornication. Now, when he said they went up under every high hill and under every green tree, one of the men tell me what was going on there, that he said she was committing adultery. What was going on under every green tree and up on every high hill?
They were worshiping other gods.
Yeah, very good, Luke. They were worshiping other gods. And that to God, come on, got to be able to catch. That to God was to commit adultery on him. And it would compare to a man coming in and seeing his wife in the act of fornication with some other man or men or whatever. What a sad thing that was, because that's what Israel was doing. And they would bow down and have this place of adultery, and God saw it. He said, "I see it every time they do it. It rips my heart out." Can you imagine how your heart would be ripped out in such a situation? He's comparing that to a wife laying down before her adulterous lover when he says she's gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. Now, a husband and wife could go out in the country and have the marriage act, and God would smile upon it. But that's not what was going on there. And it was happening, and I can remember people that we loved, and there was a particular teenager that we loved. This was decades ago. And I remember inviting this teen into our home and using help in the home. And we had more than one teen we did this with. And I can remember we had to go away on a vacation and on a trip, and had people to take care of the teen while I was away. And when I came back, I heard that she had committed fornication with a young man that was going to our church. But not just fornication on my bed, in my bedroom, in my house. And I said, "That's it. I love this girl. I did not want to ever have that happen, but I could not allow it." I said, "No mas. That's it." And that's how God was. He could not allow this to go on. And Hosea the prophet was called to be a prophetic show and tell person of how Israel was murdering her marriage to God. Do you know you grieve the Holy Spirit when you're out of the will of God? Do you know you grieve the heart of your pastor? And that's not a small thing. In Hosea that we read about today and what God called him to do with his wife Gomer, he eventually divorced her because she was cheating on him. And he had to divorce his cheating wife. I just talked to somebody the other day that asked them if they were married. They said, "Yeah, I was married." I said, "What stopped it?" "She cheated on me, and I divorced her." And that is allowed in the Word of God, because that is the most painful, horrible thing that can be done to destroy a marriage covenant. Now, I'm not saying a person has to divorce somebody, and God didn't even do it right away with Israel. He put up with a lot, but finally he divorced Israel. And Jesus said, whosoever shall put away, that's divorce his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. But if you do that for fornication and marry another, you do not commit adultery, because fornication murders a marriage. I remember many, many, many years ago as a young man, I didn't even realize it, but we had a ministry here, had a single girls were working with us. And there was a girl that had an affection for me. I didn't realize it. I was a single man. She was single. And when my wife came up here, she wasn't my wife then, and this girl saw that God was putting my wife and I together, she got upset about that. And my wife and I got married, and she married another guy in the church, and it was kind of on the rebound. And it wasn't good that she married that guy. She should have never married that guy, because she held a torch for somebody else. And she married that guy. He was a good man. And I remember they had a baby together, and then she had another baby, and you know what? She was cheating on him. It wasn't with him. And he took care of that baby and hung in there with that marriage in spite of the terrible harm done by committing the marriage act with somebody else and a forbidden, unauthorized carnal knowledge and doing that. Finally, you know, even though he was a very loving man, a very patient man, he finally divorced her. She divorced him, possibly. I don't even know. But what a sad thing that is when we cheat on God, when we cheat on the Savior, and how he must feel, and what a terrible thing that is. In my pastoral experience, I can go back many years, and you would not know who I'm talking about, but there was another lady, and this lady had a husband, and she had kids with the husband, a number of kids. But then the husband was a working man, and this lady had her husband's boss was an older man, maybe 20, 30 years older than her. By the way, that's when a man can be dangerous, between 50 and 60, or right in there, because he has success, money, position, and the wife or the woman can have youth and beauty, and that can be a dangerous combination. By the way, that's what David and Bathsheba were, that kind of a situation. And so this guy, he used his experience and his being the boss of her husband, and she had kids and probably didn't have a lot of money, and they had struggling, and he was making hay while the sun shined. In other words, he knew where the husband was, and he was wooing and working on the wife, the beautiful young wife with the three kids. And pretty soon he got her pregnant, and he lost his own marriage, and what a mess that became. And I'm just saying that murders a marriage, and that destroys lives. And I've seen it in my pastoral ministry over and over again. I could tell you story after story after story tonight. And that's why I'm sounding this warning to you tonight. I feel compelled to do it. I'm warning you tonight to stop anything that would be murdering your marriage, because Israel murdered its marriage to the Lord, and the Lord divorced the nation of Israel, and he is still divorced from the nation of Israel. And the great tribulation is part of what she's going to have to go through, because remember, Gomer, when Hosea divorced her for serial fornication, and she had kids with other men, and he gave them names, and he divorced her, and he's still divorced from Israel and has not yet remarried his original wife. And so God said, I know she's going to be a cheater, but I'm leading you to marry her, even though I don't believe she was a whore and a cheater when they got married, but she turned that way. And that's been with good men in this church. Stop murdering your marriage because Israel murders its marriage to the Lord. Number two, stop murdering your marriage because many spouses have murdered their marriage by breaking God's commandments. Exodus 20:14, you don't break God's commandments, you break yourself when you go against it. He that commits sin, you don't just do a sin, you become the servant of that sin. You become the slave of that sin. And Exodus 20, verse 14 says, thou shalt not commit adultery. And if you have God in your life and the Holy Spirit of God, you'll stay as far away from adultery and as fornication as you can get. Bible says, flee from it. And we're talking about that murdering your marriage. I think of Abraham. He was a man of God, and Abraham had a very beautiful wife. Even when she was older, she was so beautiful, so attractive. Her name was Sarah, and he went down to Egypt like he should not have done, and he said to his wife, now don't tell him you're my wife. I'll get in trouble with Pharaoh, and Pharaoh took her right into his harem of wives. And he would have committed adultery with her if God didn't stop it. And I'm just saying, Abraham was in the position to murder his marriage, but God would not allow it. I'm saying that ladies need to be warned not to marry a man if you're not going to return love in a physical and in a way where you're attracted. Then don't settle and don't marry that man if you can't do that. Don't marry that man if you can't deeply respect his leadership in your life and you can't, listen to me, submit to him. You know, in the marriage covenant, it says to obey. And there's some women that want the word obedience out of there. But the Bible says you're to submit in everything. And so when the husband says something and a wife doesn't do it, that is a dangerous thing in marriage. And it will go toward murdering that marriage because God put that headship there to protect. Even though Abraham blew it, God still stepped in and he's there to protect that marriage and that wife. And don't demand that he love you if you're not ready to marry him and to reverence him and to be willing to submit to his leadership in everything. Don't demand a relationship from him that's tantamount to marriage. You have no right to do that. And don't marry him if you're not ready to obey his headship. Don't let your knowledge of your husband's faults that you're going to learn about as you're married keep you from deeply respecting, that is, reverencing his important place in your life. And don't ever flat out refuse to submit to his commands of leadership in the marriage where he comes down and says, no, this must be. God-given headship and your failure to submit under his decisions could lead into fornication and lead to the murder of your marriage. I have seen it again and again and again. And I sound the warning. And I'm saying Hosea and Gomer's kids. I believe the first child, and I'm not sure, but I believe the first child was actually his. His name was Jezreel. And that had to do with avenging the blood that was shed in Jezreel. I believe that was Naboth's blood. But notice the name of the second child. The name of the second child, that was a girl. The first one was a boy. The second one was a girl. And her name, God said, name her Lo Ruhamah. And what does Ruhamah mean? Ruhamah means pity, mercy. Lo means no. And God was saying, no more pity for your adulteries. No more pity for your cheating on me. No more. Patty, you remember this. I often think about it, never forget it. I was shopping with my dad in Grand Rapids in a place called Myers Grocery Store. And while we were shopping in there, we saw a man. He looked like a bank teller, just glasses, a simple-looking man, quiet man. Not a violent bone in his body to look at him. I thought I could blow him over, you know. And my dad said, that is J. Otto Peebles. That man is J. Otto Peebles. I said, who's J. Otto Peebles? He said that he came home from work one day and went up into the bedroom and found his wife with another man in the marriage bed. He said he took out a automatic pistol, I believe it was, and shot them both dead. And I said, Dad, what's he doing walking around his Myers? And he said, temporary insanity. The jury said, you're fine. Now, I know that's true because my wife said, if I ever saw you do that, that's what you'd have. And I'd have temporary insanity. And but that's a true story. And you know, that is something that God puts in the heart of people. And you could steal from somebody, but you do that and you're going to be in trouble. I remember working with my uncle. I tried to witness to him. I was 19 years of age, and we'd go into these houses and deliver refrigerators and air conditioners and all this. And he was always talking to the women, you know. He was about in his 30s. I was 19. He was talking to these women all the time. And we'd leave the house, and little did I know, he was hooking up with all these married women that we were delivering to. Until a guy came in with a gun one day to shoot him. And God spared my uncle's life, but he almost got himself killed, and rightfully so. I'm just saying that the child's name was Lo Ruhamah. No more pity, no more mercy. And then they had another child, and that child was named Lo Ammi. Ammi means my people. And Lo means no more, no. In other words, God's saying, Israel, you're not my people anymore. You cheated on me, and you cheated on me, and you've committed adultery on me, and you've... Now, remember, they were under the law. And so God divorced them under the law. And he said to Hosea, I want you to marry this woman. She's going to turn out to be a cheater. And God was for it, and he divorced her and gave her a bill of divorcement and sent her away. Now, he could have remarried, but he didn't. And God was trying to do a picture of Israel. And I think of people. I'm thinking of a person that I've been counseling and talking to, and this person... not a member of this church, but they cheated on their husband and broke up the marriage, and the husband's away from the wife. He's not with anybody, and I know he's very bitter at her, and rightfully so. And I talked to her, and I said, and more than once, I said, you need to get away from men and get right. Because I know you care for your husband, but you're hooked up like on drugs with these men, and they're just bringing you down. And I said, your husband will never take you back unless you quit. But yet, she's the definition of insanity, doing the same thing and expecting different results. It's not going to happen. And so I have challenged her and prayed for her and talked to her, and She's still doing the same thing, and the guys, she's getting in these fights and everything with these guys, and it's the same old, and you know, by the way, that's what happened to Hosea's wife. When he divorced her, she kept on going. But you know, if you take a racehorse, and you ride him and you ride him, he gets lathered up and sweaty and everything else, and you're supposed to comb that racehorse and make him good and then dry him off and then put him away dry, and he's going to be a good racehorse. But some people abuse that racehorse, and they ride that horse, and he gets all wet and lathered, and he's ridden hard and put away wet. And that's the way Gomer was. She went on and on, living that life. And these men would use her and spit her out, and use her and spit her out. I talked to a lady today, just led her to the Lord, 18 years of age, has had 3 babies already. 3 babies at 18. And I led her to Christ over the phone tonight. Look forward to working with her. But I'm just saying, Gomer was so bad that eventually you live in sin and you live that way, and you no longer become a marketable female commodity for marriage. You become a whorish woman. And what a sad thing it is to see that. I got a text from Melissa Lindsay Burns and showed me her Christmas tree. Great husband, Joshua Burns, godly young man. They live in a beautiful place in West Virginia with the snow falling, and saw her beautiful Christmas decorations and said, "How happy I am for you, Melissa. So good to see you." And she shared back, you know, the blessings of God in marriage, and she's pregnant with a child and has a godly husband. They live by his parents. They're in a good Baptist church in West Virginia. What a difference it is when you have the marriage act within marriage. It's a beautiful thing, but you become ugly and used up and spent when you continue on that way. And that's what happened with Gomer. And finally, they couldn't sell her anymore. Nobody wanted to buy her because they would sell her like a prostitute. Nobody wanted to buy her. And God said, "Hosea, you buy her. You buy her back. I want you to show my love to her." And he did. And God's going to take Israel back under grace. After he gives them 1 7 years under the law, he's going to take her back. Have you known the grace of God? Have you known the forgiveness of sins through faith in Jesus Christ? If not, you need to taste and see the Lord's grace is good. He won't divorce you ever under grace. And that's a wonderful blessing. Well, I'm just saying that the warning is not only to women, it's to men as well. I remember a guy in the church, he had a wife and she had problems, he had problems. They had kids and the kids were beautiful kids. The home was beautiful. I remember how God was blessing them, and I thought of little olive plants around the table of the man and how God was blessing his life. But he had a problem. He started getting bitter at his wife. She wasn't committing adultery, but he was just getting bitter at her for crazy things that she did sometimes. And I said, "You just got to love her. You got to love her." Now listen to me. If the wife is in danger of committing adultery, you're not loving her if you don't warn her and try to stop her. But I said, "You got to love her for her faults. She's come from a rough background." He said, "No, no mas, not going to do it." He had no grounds for divorce, but he divorced her. The kids were devastated. Now, God can heal in those situations, but kids of divorce are devastated by It's better that a husband and wife suffer than they destroy the kids. My generation, they used to tell us, you made your bed, now lie in it. Better for the kids. But a man can mess up. I've mentioned my Uncle Gil, my mom's brother. He had a house, he had a business, he had a wife, he had kids, he had a beautiful family. But he would go deer hunting and go into bars and meet women and commit adultery. One day his wife made him bacon and eggs, and she came in, and as she served him the bacon and eggs, he used to tell the story to me over and over again. She served him the divorce papers, and she was gone with the kids and some rich businessman. It was over. And I saw him live the rest of his life with different floozies and die about 50 years of age. What a sad life. What a sad life. Stop murdering your marriage. Because Israel murdered its marriage. Because many spouses have murdered their marriage by breaking God's clear commandments and breaking themselves. And last, because God is warning you to protect your marriage covenant. Here's what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:18. Flee fornication. Now, Corinth was a sex-saturated society and city. By the way, we live in a modern-day Corinth. We live in a modern-day Sodom. We live in a sex-saturated society. But it's now gone to the next level due to something I didn't know about as a kid. It's called the Internet. And it makes it worse. Way worse. And I think of... We had a ministry called Man a Mansion over here. We owned a house. We had ladies in the house. They dressed like ladies. They went to church, and they had certain rules to be in that Man a Mansion. And I remember businesses and businessmen in the neighborhood saying, your ladies, Pastor, they're so beautiful ladies because they're old-fashioned and they dress right. And they look feminine to us. But I remember there was one lady, got a divorce from her husband. She was up there. And this lady was grossly obese. And yet, she got on the internet, and there was a demand on the internet for grossly obese women. And she started responding to that. And she had an active fornication thing going on, and I had to find out about it and deal with it. What a wicked, perverse society we live in. I think of a married man who cheated on his wife. She divorced him. He cheated on her. Christians, both of them. But she divorced him. He went on the internet and he found women that were ready for instantaneous hookups. And I asked him about it. He said, why are you asking me about this? Because I wanted to know what was going on. And he would hook up and immediately get into fornication, just like that, with these women. What a society. What wickedness. I think of Potiphar's wife. She set him up. I know you've heard different preachers preach on this, but I've studied it out. She had it set up. He was working in Potiphar's house so that nobody was in the house except for her and Joseph. Now that was a setup. By the way, you should not be in a house alone with a woman like that. You say, why? Because the Bible says flee fornication. They'll say, oh, it's no problem. It is a problem. I'm talking to you about problems. I've seen it. I'm not an idiot. I'm not a fool. I'm not a young spring chicken that's not wet behind my ears. I'm a pastor! Listen up! And Joseph, he didn't realize it. She had it set up. She's an older woman. He's very young. And she had been telling him, lie with me, come on, let's get it on, let's get it on, Job. He said, I can't do this great wickedness before God and your husband. He's entrusted me with everything but you. She grabbed him. And he had to flee, and he got out of there. If he would have known the situation he was in, he would have got out of there before that and gone back away from that situation. I'm just saying to you that many spouses have murdered their marriage, and this is God's warning for you to protect the marriage covenant, even as an example for children, and do it the right way and abstain from any appearance of evil. We set up some protocols that I learned through my ministry, and I stick with those protocols. You don't like it, you figure out a way to lump it, but I found out I got to protect my people and this ministry. And we're going to have protocols. And I'm just saying that there's a danger. Think of a young man studying for the ministry. I was studying for the ministry, and there was another married man studying for the ministry, and I used to work down here at Giant Market Warehouse. I worked unloading boxcars. Sometime I would drive maybe a forklift or walk around in there and do work in the warehouse. And I remember a big glass window, and there was an older man, probably around 50 years old, and there was a young, beautiful seminarian's wife, lovely girl. And I could see her through that picture window. And that older man, his name was Nick, I remember it, and he was 40, 50 years old. She was in her young 20s. And I thought of her husband, a good guy, studying for the ministry. She's there working at the warehouse where I'm working. My wife is at home, thank God. I remember my young wife came to bring me lunch one time, and I worked with these crazy guys, and they were all hooting and hollering at my young wife, you know, and one guy told me, you shouldn't have your wife come here and bring your lunch. And I said, well, I sure enough wouldn't have her working here. She's at home, going to be a wife and a mother in the home. And I went by that window and looked in there, and there that guy's hand was right, you know where. As that woman's just standing there, she's not budging. She's just standing there. That's called harassment or whatever you call it, but she was taking it for whatever reason. And I'm sure her husband didn't know about what was going on, thinking his wife was helping to get through seminary so he could be a preacher. I'm saying God is warning you to protect the marriage covenant. I told my wife, I do not want you working. I don't want to be a dink, D-I-N-K, dual income, no kids. I want to have kids. I want to keep you barefoot and pregnant. And I said, God will provide. My father-in-law, every time I saw him, he'd go snip, snip. I need to get you. I said, no, Dad, God's going to provide. God's going to provide for us. We're doing it the old-fashioned way. God said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. We're going to do that. And God blessed. And I was able to protect my young wife from working out amongst worldly men. And she reverenced the headship of her husband, submitted to my leadership when I told her not to work, and a wife should listen to her husband, whatever he says. I realize there are some cases where wives work and so forth, but I'm just talking to you about the model and the headship. And there's a warning not to become a Gomer and be divorced and ruined by it. Let's be faithful as the bride of Christ to the Lord and stop murdering the marriage, because Israel murdered its marriage. Because many spouses have murdered their marriage by breaking God's commandments. And because God is warning you tonight through the Word of God, warning you, listen, protect your marriage from this thing. Adultery by fornication, it has wreaked havoc stay faithful. Stay faithful. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed. I know we've went a little long tonight, but I felt like